So can we have liberty and justice for all if we're not a nation under God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, I fully understand that the Pledge of Allegiance was not written until 1892 in America, and I recognize that the words under God were not added until 1954 under the Eisenhower administration. But since the pledge speaks of liberty and justice for all, can there be truly liberty and justice for all if we're not a nation under God? I don't mean a theocracy. I don't mean clergy running the nation. I don't mean enforcing the Bible on the nation. But I mean if we are not largely a God-fearing, God-honoring nation, can we have liberty and justice for all? Obviously, my answer is no. Welcome to the broadcast. Michael Brown here, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've got a ton of ground to cover. We're going to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance controversy at the Democratic National Convention. We're going to focus that on the question of a nation under God, what that means, what that implies. We've got some footage to show you, play for you all today. And I want to get your feedback. Are you ready? 866-348-7884. When it comes to the November elections, if there was one issue, number one issue for which you were voting, it could be as simple as I'm pro-life. It could be as simple as I don't like Donald Trump. It doesn't have to be profound, lengthy. But the number one thing could be if we don't vote this way, the nation goes this way. Whatever it is, I don't want to put words in your mouth. But the number one thing at the top of your list when it comes to voting in November for the president, everyone on all sides emphasizing what a momentous election it is, and ultimately recognizing, as I've said before, if you believe Trump is the man, at best, four more years of Donald Trump is just a respite during which the church must awaken and impact the nation. Otherwise, we'll continue to see collapse come. And Trump, at his best, is not the savior of America. If you think a Democrat candidate is better, how is that going to address the massive, deep issues in America? We need national revival and awakening. At the same time, there are many implications with the election. So, what's your take when it comes to November, when you go to vote? What's the number one issue that will decide if you vote for Trump, Biden, someone else, or not vote at all? What's the number one issue? 866-34-TRUTH. Published an article over the weekend that addresses this question about liberty and justice for all. Can there be liberty and justice for all if we are not a nation under God? And it's titled, it's posted on stream.com, No Liberty and Justice for All If We Are Not a Nation Under God. And here's what the Founding Fathers wrote, just to remind you, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, so why are they self-evident? Based on what? Human beings dealing with other human beings, none of this is self-evident. Human beings, it's the survival of the fittest, like every other race, like the evolutionary concept. You take God out of the equation, it's ultimately me and mine, ours first, because we're by nature selfish, and loving your neighbors yourself is not the natural instinct of human beings. And obviously, when you're starving, the first thing you think of is feeding yourself. It's understandable. It's human nature. So where we get the idea of rights? We get the idea of rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, because there's a creator. All right? So this is a foundational truth in some of our earliest documents. To repeat, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, that they were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So this is by the will of the Creator. Samuel Adams said this. He said that as far as claiming that the rights of colonists, quote, may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver and the head of the Christian church, Jesus, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament. So if you want to understand where our rights come from, that's what he's saying. Here, scroll down in the article. Samuel Adams wrote this. He said, a general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. Consider us right there, right now, surrendering our liberties, putting ourselves in bondage to the forces of the flesh and the world, and ready to be taken if we don't awaken. All right, so President Trump tweeted out that the DNC, Democratic National Convention, left out "under God" when the pledge was recited. Well, that wasn't accurate in terms of the corporate meetings. When they recited the pledge at the beginning of their meetings each night, they used the full pledge with the words "under God." But there were two panel discussions where it was omitted. First in a gay and lesbian forum, and second in a Muslim forum. Now, the Muslim forum, when you hear it, maybe the gentleman just missed it or didn't have the right text or didn't have it memorized. But when it comes to the gay and lesbian one, listen, if you're watching, it's even more clear. Check this out.
Hello, everybody. If you don't have a flag, I have flags here right in front of me. Please place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, okay, so this was an LGBTQ caucus meeting, and the individual reciting the pledge, when it comes to "under God," just nods, leaving that part out quite intentionally. Quite intentionally. Now, listen in the Muslim caucus, and it's debatable whether this was done intentionally or just an oversight. Let's listen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It appears he was reading it, maybe not, but it could be that whoever wrote it for him left it out intentionally, or he memorized it incorrectly, and it was just a glitch. Either way, it got attention, and the first one was absolutely, definitely intentional, leaving out "under God." All right, now, in this panel discussion, LGBTQ caucus, there was one individual, we'll give you this individual's bio in a moment, but listen to what this individual is calling for in terms of abolishing police and things like that.
And I'm talking about like for real abolition, not just watered down DNC version of abolition. We're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about abolishing ICE. We're talking about abolishing prisons.
Yeah. Okay. So abolishing the police, abolishing prisons, abolishing ICE. So who was this individual? Well, they're involved in LGBTQ activities at Wake Forest University. Let's take a look at the page. Let's look at some of the bios of some of the people involved at Wake Forest. First is Dr. A.J. Mazaris. Now, this is not the individual we just heard. A.J. Mazaris, director, LGBTQ Plus Center, and Assistant Vice President for Equitable Policy, Office of Diversity of Inclusion. Diversity and inclusion means gay way or the highway, basically. Okay, so Dr. A.J. Mazaris, they, them, theirs. You say, what does that mean? It means Dr. Mazaris does not like to be referred to as he or she, but as they or them or theirs. As the founding director of the LGBTQ Plus Center at Wake Forest University, where they also teach the Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. Dr. Mazar serves as part of the university's diversity and inclusion leadership team and is committed to creating an institution that welcomes, supports, and engages everyone to their fullest potential. Dr. Mazar has a PhD in American Studies from Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, where they were honored to hold the Jacob Javits Fellowship in the U.S. Department of Education. Their teaching and research focus on LGBTQ history, queer theory, public history, and gender studies. These are some of the profs, friends, teaching your kids in college and university. Okay, now let's scroll down and let's look at the bio for Jay Mai. That's the one we just saw in the LGBTQ Democrat caucus calling for the abolition of police, prison, and ICE. Jay Mai, Jay Mai, preferred pronouns they, them, is a Black Vietnamese transgender, non-binary, gender transcendent mermaid queen king currently living out of their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Now, let's leave it on the screen here for a minute. I am not making this up. I am not mocking. I am simply saying this is the insanity that we have warned about, the social insanity, the gender insanity. Once you get away from male and female, he created them. We've warned about it for years. Who saw this coming? If I told you just a few years ago, people will be identifying as transgender, non-binary, gender, transcendent, mermaid, queen, king. Currently living out their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A recently licensed minister in the Progressive National Baptist Church. Jay received their bachelor's in sociology and women, gender, sexuality studies at Wake Forest University and is currently working towards a master in divinity at Wake Forest University School of Divinity. And it goes on. May God touch these individuals whose names I just mentioned. May they truly come to know God and may they understand who they genuinely are and who God made them to be. Friends, this is where society is going. This is on university campuses, friends, and we're just supposed to accept this. Okay, raise a hand with me. No, I don't accept this as the new normal. I will have compassion on those who struggle, but you better believe I will not conform my universe to the gender transcendent mermaid king queen ideology. Sorry, it's not gonna happen.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, the scene from one of the riots in America. There is someone, I guess a woman in a dress, looks like a white woman proclaiming Black Lives Matter, beating a bucket as a guillotine burns and there's a pig's head on a stick. The pig, obviously, a symbol of police. This is some of the chaos that we've been speaking about. This is something from below, not from above. This is the anarchy that we've been warning about, what the Bible speaks of as lawlessness. This is what is growing and rising. We separate this from grieving protests. We separate this from people crying out for righteousness when there seems to be none, or challenging the system when the system doesn't seem to work the same for everyone. Those are valid things we look at and address while we simultaneously, categorically reject the madness, the anarchy, the looting, the violence, the burning, the threatening. We categorically reject that as from below, not from above. By the way, when I say we've been warning, I've been sounding the alarm for years about where things are going in this society. Plenty of things I don't know. I don't know who's going to win the election in November. plenty of things catch me off guard like everybody else, like the coronavirus, for example. I can't tell you the developments that are going to unfold in detail in the next few years in the Middle East. I don't know what's going to happen with Russia and China and plenty of things I don't know. For everything I do know, there's a ton of things I don't know. But there are things we've been steady, where we've been sounding the alarm, where we have been raising our voices and saying that we're heading in a dangerous direction. And one is with the overwhelming push about gender identity confusion. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And a simple question, when it comes to voting in November, what's your number one factor when you, however this is going to go, whether you pull the handle, whether you fill in a blank, whether you send in a ballot, however it's going to go, what's going to be the number one issue? And if that issue changed, you would vote differently. In other words, what candidate you're voting for or what candidate you're voting against or why? I'd like to hear from you and find out. Okay, so when I wrote the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, it came out in 2011. But I worked on it, the research, the interaction, doing my best to understand and be compassionate. It was over a six-year period that I put the book together, 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes. And the last chapter was about GLBT and beyond. In those days, the G came before the L, and it switched pretty much universally. And we talked about where things were already going and the gender confusion and to men who now identify as women or to women who now identify as men and then had a child a different way and the child's being raised a certain way and this one calling themselves a gender outlaw, you know, male by day, female by night, and just talked about what happens when you lose your sights, your trajectory gets off. And, you know, it's just like those of you who've been involved in marksmanship or things like that, who've been involved in shooting or things like that, which I haven't, but you understand the principle. If you're just a tiny bit off from you've got your angle slightly off when you shoot that bullet or shoot that rocket, the further it goes, the further off target it is. And the thing just gets further and further and further off. So when we get away from simple foundations, which start with God as our creator and God as our judge, when we get away from that, friends, we fall into all types of moral and spiritual and social confusion. So in the same way that you can't have liberty and justice for all unless you are God-fearing, unless you recognize that God created us in his image, that every human being is sacred in his sight, that every human being has inalienable rights among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unless you start there, you're just going to have bondage, more bondage. You say, well, we had slavery in American history. Yes, but these principles would help us work against it. And these principles are what will help us continue to work against sinful attitudes, injustice, racism, whatever, in America. In the same way, when you get away from that foundation of God created us male and female, in his image, and male and female, then you end up with all kinds of confusion and people saying, I'm a gender blender, just throw them all in a blender and see what comes out. And then it just becomes whatever you happen to feel on a given day. I mean, literally, people say, yeah, if I feel like this, I identify as this. If I feel like that, I identify with that. I don't hate people. Like, why would I hate them? I'm not angry with them. I hurt for them. What angers me is when now this will be imposed on others, where the struggles of a few will be imposed on everyone else. That's what grieves me. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to grab a few calls and then a bunch more things we want to talk about, including Lucifer being number one in America. You think, what? You'll find out. Stay right here. Okay, we'll start in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mark, how are you voting and why?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm definitely going to be casting my vote for President Trump again. The Democrat Party platform seems to be built off of the end of Romans 1, total depravity. I honestly don't know how you can be a Christian and vote for that party at this point in time.
What would be at the top of your list as the most grievous aspects of the Democratic Party platform?
Oh, that's hard. I think it's a tie between sexual immorality and abortion, and they just go hand in hand. The immorality, you need abortion to get rid of what they call the consequences, what we call God's gift.
Got it. Yep, all clear. Hey, Mark, thank you for weighing in exactly as I asked. You may have a different perspective, radically different, or totally the same. That's fine. 866-348-7884. Look, as we've been talking in recent weeks, and if you're just new to us on America's Voice, welcome. Make sure you check out my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for our emails. I normally write 5 op-ed pieces a week. We put out our daily radio show 5 days a week, additional videos. So tons of resources at the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. But as we've been saying, no matter how good founding principles were in America, you're still dealing with human beings. Here, how many of you have been through a painful experience at a church? The church had great beliefs. The church was basing things on the Bible, and yet people failed. How many of us in our own lives have had lofty standards, affirmed this is good, this is right, and yet because of human weakness, we fall short? So in that sense, of course, America's never been a totally Christian nation, not close to that, obviously. But the principles that helped us be special in many ways, the principles that helped us overcome some of our inherent weaknesses and sins, those principles are biblically based. That is not calling for a theocracy. A theocracy is where clergy rules over the nation and enforces the religious values of that faith on the nation. For example, in Iran, you have a theocracy. Oh, yes, you have an elected leader, that leader himself being a Muslim, but then you have the supreme leader. So it was Khomeini, then Khamenei. So you have those leading, and then Islamic law is enforced, so the women have to wear veils. You say, well, what's the difference between that and Christians wanting to see abortion illegal? Okay, number one, we are calling for votes. We're calling for righteous decisions. The Supreme Court, we believe, erred in the decision it made. It ruled wrongly, so we're looking for the courts to overturn that. We're looking for votes, for bills to change the tide on that. And then ultimately, we see this as the slaughter of the unborn. So do you agree there should be laws against murder? We all do, right? So in the same way, if you see this as the slaughter of the unborn or harm being done to the unborn in an extreme way, even if you don't put the unborn on the same level as the born, because the child's not born yet, you don't know if it's going to be born healthy, you still recognize it as wrong and destructive and harmful to another life, however you're coming at this. So that would be the difference. But we're not saying everyone must go to church on Sunday, or everyone must set aside the Sabbath on Saturday, or everyone must live by the dietary laws, or women are required to. No, we're not saying that. They must wear a veil. We're not advocating for a theocracy. What we're saying is that America's greatness, that whatever it is that has helped us to be a nation that has become a world leader, the most powerful nation on the planet, that what has helped us to be the best we can be is these biblically based principles. And to the extent God is distorted from our consciousness, starting among believers, starting in the church, starting with Christian leaders, to the extent that we are not God conscious, the nation will not be God conscious. What did Jesus say? If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So we who are to shine the light must make the difference. As I've said endlessly for years, I'm not so much concerned with the presence of darkness as much as with the absence of light. When we come back, we'll talk about the devil. Yeah, we'll talk about Lucifer and how popular Lucifer is in America. Take some more calls as well, and more to catch up. Oh, and a maddening fake headline. 866-348-7884. Shake the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, in the New Testament, Satan is called the God of this world, or the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In 1 John 5:19, it says, "We are of God, little children, but the whole world lies under the power of the evil one." And Jesus, speaking to Jewish men who did not believe in him, John 8:44, famously said, "You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you will do." It says he was a liar from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's who he is. And it's saying that's the state of the human race that rejects God will take on these negative characteristics. Well, I do believe there's a literal creature called Satan, the devil, deceiver, adversary. I do believe that. I believe there's good reason for believing that scripturally and even experientially. Ooh, getting out there. And I also believe that we cannot blame him for choices we make. The devil made me do it. No. I made a choice. I may have been influenced by the devil. I may have been influenced by people, by surroundings, but I make the choice ultimately. You make the choice ultimately. And if we find ourselves enslaved, like you might be enslaved to a drug or to gambling or something, you made choices that got you enslaved. You may want to get out now and don't know how, but you made choices that got you enslaved or in a destructive relationship, whatever it is. So a friend of mine asked me if I had seen a particular documentary on Netflix. And I hadn't been there in probably a few months longer, but it was about religious Jews that had left the fold. And I'd started watching it way back when it came out. I thought, you know, I don't think I finished that. So I go to Netflix, and what do I see on the screen? Okay, check this out. There it is, Lucifer. So when I read more about this, it's a show about Satan gets bored being king of hell, whatever, and decides to move to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, something. And apparently it was on Fox for a few years, and then it got dropped, and then Netflix picked it up, and it's become popular. So here's what it says. Lucifer, number one in the U.S. today. He's the devil, but don't hold that against him. He also helps solve murders and runs one, H-E-L-L, of a nightclub. Lucifer, number one in the U.S. today. So I don't know about the show. I haven't watched it. I don't know if it's absolutely filthy and miserable and demonic or if it's more comedic that he's the devil. I don't know, okay? All I know is that said a lot. That kind of jumped off the page at me. Lucifer, number one in the USA today. What we see happening when we see violence, as we're seeing, when we see massive polarization, hatred, when we see forces of destruction at work on all different sides, and you couple that with the deep problems in the morals of our society. Just take the epidemic of porn that boys as young as 8 are getting exposed to it on a regular basis. I mean, just unthinkable stuff. The madness of the society. That is saying that a lot of Americans are going the devil's way more than God's way. It's when there's that level of hatred we have towards each other, that we're going the devil's way more than God's way. And one of the things that God hates the most is the shedding of innocent blood. We talked about abortion, we talked about that many times, but what about just murder? The amount of bloodshed, murder we have in America. You see, because human beings are created in God's image, because of that, therefore, taking a human life is very different than taking an animal life. Just right before the show, I was walking in the hallway and saw a bug laying on the floor, looked dead, barely moving, picked it up and threw it out. Well, I didn't commit a moral crime. I didn't, I've got to confess, the bug was almost dead and I finished it. No, it's a bug. It's a bug, shouldn't be in the building. But a human being's different. And there are things here, the attack on our children, the assault on children. This is an evil thing. This is a demonic thing. Nothing more precious and innocent than a little child. The amount of sex trafficking, the amount of child abuse, the entertainment that is made available to little children that is so polluting and destructive. and then the tearing up of families and rampant divorce that continues and fatherlessness in so many homes and on and on. These are direct assaults on children more than anything. They end up the victims more than anyone. And it's just yet another reason that we need to get on our knees and get on our faces and say, God, have mercy on America. We are hurting more than we realize. I'm finishing a book scheduled to come out next May on the theme of what happens when it seems that God fails you. That is he really there? Is the Bible true? The agonizing questions people go through. And in one chapter, I was dealing with questions about morality in the Bible, you know, stoning adulterers, putting this one to death or that one. And I said, yeah, these penalties would have been very common in the ancient world. They strike us as immoral. But then I paint a picture of our society in America today across the board and say, do we actually have the right to judge that society and say, look at us, look at how moral we are and look down our self-righteous noses at them? Absolutely not. All right. I just moments ago posted this poll on Twitter. So it's just getting the first responses now. When it comes to the November elections, what is the number one factor in your vote? And there are obviously overlaps. Just curious to see how people would land. First choice, a specific issue. That's the number one thing. Abortion for many or some other issue. You know, for some it could be criminal justice system. For who, don't know, just a specific issue. That's the number one thing you're going to look at. Second is a little bit more broad, party platform. So there's obviously overlap there, but saying, hey, it's not just one issue, it's a number of issues. Well, what about anti-Trump? We're just voting to get rid of Trump. We don't want Trump. Or what if it's just, I don't want Biden in or Biden-Harris? So, we just started the poll moments ago. First 100-something votes. 37.5% say a specific issue. 44.2% say party platforms. 5.8% say anti-Trump. From what I can see, about two-thirds, maybe 70% of those who follow me on Twitter voted for Trump in 2016, just to give a context here. So anti-Trump, 5.8%, anti-Biden, 12.5%. So we'll give you an update at the end of the show, 866-34-TRUTH. What's your number one issue when it comes to vote? Because this, again, all sides agree, major, major vote. Okay, let's switch subjects here and let me take a deep breath, because this stuff is maddening. And what do you do if you don't have a platform like I do to get in front of the world and write and speak and share, you know, TV, radio, internet, writing? What do you do? And it's frustrating for me, and I have a platform. What do you do when you don't have a platform? It can be very difficult. Like, sometimes I look at news reports and it just, oh, come on. You look at it and think, where's the fairness? Where's the accuracy? And I see it on all sides. So check out this story, all right? Check out this headline here. There is a man who was confronting pro-life group in front of Planned Parenthood, all right? And he pulls a gun on them, and he threatens them. So they're doing what they do, praying, street-side counseling, doing what they do legally, peacefully, okay? A guy comes up to harass them. He pulls a gun on them. He threatens them. And here's the headline from Associated Press. Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Let me repeat that. This was the headline on Associated Press, which goes out very widely. Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Okay, you see that headline. What do you think? What do you immediately think? Well, some pro-lifer came with a gun to Planned Parenthood. Some crazy pro-lifer's out to kill somebody. Some pro-lifer almost killed a doctor. Some pro-lifer shows up at Planned Parenthood, probably a Republican conservative white Trump supporter, and shows up at Planned Parenthood ready to kill somebody with a gun, these poor Planned Parenthood workers. It's not what you think. Now, I just search on Google. I put in that headline. And check this out. When you start scrolling down AP News, right? That's where it went out initially. That's the top one. Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Fox29.com, Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Okay, now another one. Delaware man charged with pulling gun on abortion protest. Okay, so that's got a little bit better accuracy there. Washington Post, Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Newsbreak.com, Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. Oh, just looking random websites. Even the Washington Times, which is conservative. Delaware police arrest man with gun at Planned Parenthood. And on it goes. So this just gets out there. This gets out there. And here, I'm reading the actual story. Jerome Aniska, 31, was arrested Friday after allegedly approaching a group of pro-life activists demonstrating outside a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, starting an argument with them and then pulling out a firearm and threatening the group with harm, police said. After the threats, the pro-life demonstrators called the Dover police. WMDT reports police said they responded to the parking lot of Planned Parenthood after receiving calls from a group of pro-life demonstrators that a man later identified as Jerome Aniska pulled a handgun on the group. Police said Aniska went down the public sidewalk, started an argument with the group. He then pulled out a black handgun, made a threatening statement to them. Police said they located the empty holster in the center console of the car and found a black 9mm handgun in the trunk of the car. And on it goes. This is really maddening. The fake news, the fake headlines. And then once you start calling out fake news, then the true news you can dismiss. It is a spirit of deception. It is a spirit of lying. It is a spirit of misinformation. And it's just this attitude, whatever it is that motivates people to do this, it is so destructive. And once the thing is out, you know, you have some myth about the White House, the government, whatever. Previous administration, once that myth is out, it's out. And once it circulates, it becomes dogma. People just believe it. It is frightening to watch in front of our eyes with all of the checks and balances we have, with all of the ability to search and find out for ourselves. Still, the fake news, the fake headlines dominate the thinking of many people. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, more recent events, rioting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Black man shot 7 times in the back. Somehow survived, is in serious condition. His children, 3 children, were in the vehicle that he was getting into when he was shot in the back. So riots now raging in Kenosha, and in the scenes that we've seen across America. Now, what we don't know is all the details. That we don't know, correct? Now, maybe later in the week, or by the time some of you will watch this, more details will have gotten out. But from what we understand, this man was trying to break up a dispute between 2 women in the community. Police were called. When he would not respond to the police, they tased him. That didn't stop him. One report said he had a knife. They were telling him to drop the knife. But from what you can see in the video, he ignores the police. He walks past them, and he goes to get in his car. And at that point, he gets shot in the back. Now, were they afraid he was reaching for a weapon? Would it have been a totally different scene if he simply complied with the police because he wasn't a guilty party there? Is this another example of police brutality or a black man being targeted? Those are all questions that need to be addressed. Thankfully, he's not dead. Thankfully. And hopefully he makes a full recovery. Amazing to be shot that many times and survive. Hopefully, for his sake and the sake of his family, he makes a full recovery. And may truth emerge and may justice be done. But this is yet another match thrown in a vat of gasoline that's in our cities ready to explode. And things are only going to get more intense unless church leaders lead the way and in the fear of God sit down side by side and hear each other out and have forums where people can air their grievances. And I'm talking about people understanding each other and where they're coming from, and then appeals made to justice authorities and everything for righteousness, for fair investigations, and on and on. But this is, we're sitting on a powder keg. Yeah, who does not know that we are sitting on a powder keg? Just an update on my Twitter poll. Let's just go back there and see where things are at as we just get a few more votes in. Yeah, trending the same way. 35% say when it comes to vote, it's going to be a specific issue. 45.6% party platforms. 5.6% their vote is just going to be an anti-Trump vote. 13.9% say an anti-Biden vote. Okay. One more example of some of the social madness. The comparisons that are being made, the suggestions that America is like Nazi Germany. Now, as a Jewish follower of Jesus, that statement is deeply offensive to me, knowing the horrors of the Holocaust, having studied what happened in Nazi Germany, knowing the incredible destruction of so many lives, Jew and non-Jew alike, all over Europe as a result of World War II, which, take Japan out of it, was still horrifically bloody because of the Nazis and their murderous ideology, knowing what conditions were like in Germany. So Jemele Hill posts this. She writes for The Atlantic, which is a prominent publication, and elsewhere. She says, been reading Isabel Wilkerson's new book, Cast, and if you're of the opinion that the United States wasn't nearly as bad as Nazi Germany, how wrong you are. Can't encourage you enough to read this masterpiece. Now, let me just say this. If this was Nazi Germany, and she put out a public statement like that, criticizing the leadership, criticizing the nation, calling it out as evil, that might be the last thing she ever did as a free woman. Just for the record, when we're talking about the realities of Nazi Germany. And you ask what happened to men like Bonhoeffer and others that stood against the Nazis and spoke out against the Nazis. And he was, yes, part of a resistance movement that wanted to literally get rid of Adolf Hitler. So Orthodox Jew representative from New York, Dov Hilkind, posted a response to this, which really says it all. Reminder for Jemele Hill about just a few of the differences between America and Nazi Germany. And it's a very powerful graphic. What's the difference? On the left, Nazi concentration / extermination camps. On the right, American migrant detention centers. And there's a list. And then the Nazi side, all checked in green, and the other side all checked in red X's. So here's the checklist. Let's compare Nazi Germany and America. Gas chambers, yes in Nazi Germany, no here. Crematoria, yes there, no there. Just go through the list. Firing squads, forced labor, starvation, beatings, smashed babies against walls, electrified barbed wire fencing, force inmates to shave all hair, appropriate all belongings, tattoo ID number on arms, remove gold, silver teeth, inadequate clothing in cold, no shoes, no bathrooms, hygiene, no doctors, forced longful marches on ice, and on the list goes. But friends, this is the rhetoric that's out there. And people buy into it, and then that fuels some of the madness of the protests. And it is a path to self-destruction. Here's an interesting question to ask. And if you don't know me well, for years I've been writing books about the church in America needing to repent. And I've been writing books about the sins of America. So in that sense, I identify more with the prophetic voices of the Bible preaching repent than I identify with a political pundit, okay? So I am not one here that is blind to the faults and failures of America or to the faults and failures of the church in America. All right? I'm not blind to that. I don't downplay that. I don't diminish any of that, any of it. However, there's a reason that more people want to move to America than any other country in the world. There's a reason that we have to deal with immigrants coming in illegally, or people coming in that are ultimately not going to blend into our society and only want to undermine our society. There's a reason that immigrants want to pour into America, and they're not, say, trying to pour into China the same way, or pour into Russia the same way, or pour into Mexico to the south of us, or Canada to the north of us. There's different countries get immigrants. And we know countries like Germany and other European countries have absorbed many immigrants from Africa. We understand that. Israel is faced with a problem of people wanting to immigrate there. All understood. The bottom line, though, is simple. More people want to immigrate to America. Excuse me. That's a first on the air. More people want to immigrate to America than any other nation because of all of the opportunities, because of the doors that are open, the opportunities for employment, the opportunities for education, the opportunities for bettering one's life, the freedoms. If this was such an evil, ugly, horrific country, people would be fleeing much more quickly than they're immigrating. I've spoken outside of America around 200 different trips. So thousands of messages, but outside of America, about 200 different trips. And been to many, many different countries and spent combined months of time in different countries. And every nation is flawed. Every nation has strengths and weaknesses. America is no different. What I say is, let's be appreciative of the liberties we do have. Let's be appreciative of the opportunities that we have, and let's use them for good. Let's use them to bring about positive change. Rather than constantly complaining about what's wrong, let's use the freedoms and liberties we have to bring about positive change. So once again, come back to where we started. A nation under God. There's a famous story from the Talmud, traditional Jewish literature, that one of the rabbis was dying, first century rabbi, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And as he lay dying, his disciples come and ask him to bless him, bless them. And he wishes that the fear of heaven would be on them like the fear of man. What? What a reverse, strange blessing. Well, the thought is, when a thief goes out to steal, he's not worried about God seeing him. He's worried about people seeing him. When someone goes to commit adultery, they make sure no one's watching the affair. They're not worried about God seeing them. They're worried about people seeing them, because the fear of people and the consequences of people knowing is far greater to them than the fear of God knowing, the consequences of God knowing. In fact, it's the reverse. The biggest issue is God sees and God knows all, and one day we'll all stand before him and give account. That's the biggest issue for every single one of us, regardless of whether we believe in his existence or not. His reality remains unchanged. But that was the blessing he was giving them. Oh, that you would fear God the way you fear people, because we are so conscious of how we live and what we do because of what people will think. What about what God will think? Let us treat one another the way he would have us treat one another. And ultimately, it's to our good as well. America that doesn't fear and honor God is an America that will not have liberty and justice for all.